Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters.
Break it down. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on what went down and everybody's reaction to it?
I have no problem with his changing his mind. That's man's greatest right, is the right to change his mind. I do have a problem with him not directly contacting Mark Cuban to tell him about his change of mind. But I would also, Mike, like the Dallas fans to acknowledge the sheer lunacy and absurdity that they're booing DeAndre Jordan tonight, and they'll be cheering someone like Greg Hardy on Sunday. That, to me, is absurd. All this guy did was change his mind.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, AJ at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday, so weekend's almost here. Hope everybody's having a great one. And if you missed any of the first hour, all available at podcastarena.com. Tell you what else is available at Podcast Arena, your opportunity to buy an introduction to sports betting blitz style.
Nice.
By AJ Hoffman. Really, really good.
Super great.
I helped with it too. But for the low, low price of $12.99, you can download 3 hours worth of gambling information that will change your life for the better. It's guaranteed. You're guaranteed to win unless you don't.
Right.
So.
And then you don't.
Right. So we heard Jeff Van Gundy there talking about DeAndre Jordan and Greg Hardy. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
He does make a good point that if you're booing DeAndre Jordan and you're going on Sunday and cheering for Greg Hardy, then you may have your priorities a little bit out of whack. But that's sports fans.
Yeah. And
sports fans feel and do and say really dumb things. I mean, it's
part of being a fan.
I know it better than anybody. Trust me. In fact, I was just going through my, I found today that you can look and see it, like all the accounts that you've blocked on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm able to go and look and see all the people I've blocked. People say a lot of dumb things. So it's no surprise that there are people who do that, but, listen, he makes some sense, but at the end of the day, he should know better than anybody that that's what sports fans do.
I like Jeff Van Gundy a lot. I think he does a terrific job. I just don't think this is an apples to apples comparison. I get the point he's trying to make, but rooting against a guy who spurned you versus, oh, suddenly I'm going to root against my own player. It's just a different animal. I mean, you're not going to root. You're not going to boo Greg Hardy unless he doesn't perform, because you need that guy getting sacks. You need that guy playing well if you're rooting for a team. So, and I think it was, I mean, he's right. And if you are rooting for him, then okay, well, that's, I get why you're doing it, but his point is correct. It's just the realism of it is what I don't think is there, because fans aren't going to boo their own guy unless the guy's out there sucking.
Right. But so, at the same time, I mean, what, booing DeAndre Jordan, is he suddenly going to be playing for your team?
No, but I mean,
the guy changed his mind.
Yeah, and although, is that really man's greatest right? His ability to change his mind?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
That's not.
Okay.
His greatest right is, well,
I'm sure it's up there. I mean, you do have the right to change your mind.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, unless a contract signed, I mean, that's a different thing.
Well, do you know something I don't?
Well, I mean, if a contract is signed, you're not allowed to change your mind.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
And then you're just stuck.
Oh, so you're saying I'm stuck.
you're stuck. But if a contract's not signed, then by all means, you've got every right to change your mind.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Man's greatest right is obviously self-pleasure.
Well, that's, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that's what I would.
Unless you were born with no hands, and then you are cursed.
Well, but if you got like a hook or something and no. could make it work without damage, never mind.
I bet they've created something that does it, like some kind of attachment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure
but
that.
But it's still not as convenient.
Well, I wouldn't know because I have hands.
Right. And I can take my hands on an airplane. I can take them through the airport security. I mean, yeah, no one can stop me.
Right. Pass Bob taking... Arum. You can put your hands on Bob Arum.
Yeah. But then I hate to think of my hands as my sex partner when I'm touching Bob Arum, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he enjoys it. Let's grab a phone call. Robert wants to weigh in on Van Gundy. What's up, Robert? Robert?
Hi.
Hey, sports, Robert.
Sports. I can barely hear you guys, but that's okay. Y'all can hear me. I just want to comment, basically say that Jeff Van Gundy himself is probably a hypocrite because the NBA and basketball, college basketball, is full of thugs amongst any other sport, probably from a higher percentage or people with less, you know, if you want to call them moral values. And I guarantee you, Jeff Van Gundy has coached those players and probably started them if they were good enough athlete compared to ones that, you know, had better morals but weren't as good of an athlete. And I can hang up and listen.
Well, I think that there's a difference between moral, you know, a guy's moral code and flat-out criminals. You know what I mean?
Well, can I dispute something? I don't know that – I don't think that there's more of what he called thugs and what I'll just call bad people in basketball.
Than the NFL?
Yeah.
Percentage-wise? I don't think so either.
No, I think – I mean, that
might have been number-wise, not even close.
Yeah, might have been the case 20 years ago.
Not now.
But it's not now, and the NFL has far worse people in it. You got a guy who's on trial for double murder who was playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit of a myth.
NBA guys, the pretty standard problem is drug use. And for the most part, it's marijuana, which to me, that's so low on the list of problems.
And alcohol.
But those things just register so much lower to me than, you know, some of the problems we're seeing in the NFL.
Yeah, and I...
And Dez Bryant today is a good example. Did you see what's going on with Dez Bryant?
I did see what's going on with Dez
Bryant's very upset. I guess he blew up on a dude for about 10 minutes. And then what he's saying is that I guess the N-word was used or something. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Dez Bryant. He's a mess right now. That Cowboys locker room is a mess. Things are not going their way. But, you know, Dez Bryant saying he's not going to speak to the media anymore and things like that. All right.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how this comes out.
If you haven't seen the story, Clarence Hill, who works for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, reports that Bryant accused John Jock Taylor of ESPNDallas.com of using the word while talking to wide receiver Devin Street, and John Jock Taylor is black.
Yeah.
Taylor denied using it, and other media members were in the area also say they didn't hear it, although Street backed up Bryant because that's what he's going to do. So media's going to – well, from what I understand, John Jock Taylor –
So does Dez Bryant not use that word? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I think that's – to me, I wasn't there. I really wasn't, but if the media is the other media that was there say they didn't hear it, it's not like they liked John Jock Taylor very much there.
Right.
So
if the local Dallas media was going to throw anybody under a bus, that's who it would have been.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know, but I think there's a lot of frustration obviously going on with the Cowboys, with Dez and everything else. And who knows? And it's hard to tell because there are times when, if I were a player, I hear questions from the media that I would just want to slug the guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dez has enough of a history of questionable stuff. He needs to just be careful, man. He'll be fine once he gets Tony Romo back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this season is done for, but...
Yeah.
This isn't a good look for Dez.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. Lot more to go. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You motherfucker wanna judge me because you're not me. You'll never stop me. I'm top speed and you pop me. I came to save these new generations of babies. For parents who failed to raise them because they're lazy. To grow to praise me, I'm making them go crazy. That's how I got this whole nation to embrace me.
ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys Buccaneers, NFL, 12 p.m. Sunday. Presented by All American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. Breaking news, AJ.
All right.
You got the breaking news thing, John? You got the ding da ding da ding? Okay. According to Ken Rosenthal, sources, free agent outfielder Colby Rasmus will accept qualifying offer and return to Astros for 1 year, $15.8 million.
Okay. Does that mean that, well, there was rumors today that the Astros wanted to be in on,
thank you.
They wanted to get in on Alex Gordon.
Yeah, and I think they should be. And a couple people were asking about that earlier. Is that a good way to spend money? I think that's exactly what they need. A contact guy who is clutch and that would be an
excellent defender.
Yeah, I mean that's what they're. I mean, they have good defenders. Don't get me wrong. They play good defense, and they've got very good defensive outfielders. But it doesn't hurt to add another one, and it certainly doesn't hurt to add a guy who can put the ball in play, which they desperately need. So yeah, I think that's a guy that I think they should be spending money on. If I had a wish list, that would be up there. A guy like that. If you can't get him, yeah, I don't know. There's probably more outfielders available that are worth a damn than there are first basemen, and I still think first base is a real problem, but maybe Preston Tucker can become your first baseman.
Evan Gattis.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all offseason to get those guys a first base mitt and see what they can do. And if you added another outfielder, that gives you some flexibility to do that with one of those guys. And then maybe the kid that everybody keeps talking about is ready. I don't know, but this is a guy who puts the ball in play and helps you scrape out some runs. And would be a terrific addition. And, yeah, it's worth spending some money. You're going to have to spend some money at some point. I mean, I like how they built the team. They have the flexibility to make a mistake with a guy like this now if he turns out to be overpriced and useless. But, no, I think
if something tells me Alex Gordon's not Carlos Lee.
No, I don't think so. But you never know. I mean, that's the danger of baseball free agent, and you're always overpaying for these guys.
No doubt. Especially when a guy's coming off a World Series. I mean, he's the hot ticket.
You're going to have to pay more. But that's, that's the market. That's what the market bears. And if you're going to add a guy, I think that's a perfect guy to add. That and then go trade for a closer. Do those two things. I think you're a much better team next year. Because he's going to change your whole offense. And now, obviously, there's always the caveat if everybody's healthy. But that's a pretty damn good lineup. You put him in there. You figure Correa is going to get better. You assume Springer stays healthy all year. And maybe Gomez is healthy all year, but you've got some options in that lineup then, and you can afford to tell Chris Carter to go bleep himself and put Evan Gattis at first base or put Preston Tucker at first base. And I think those are, that would be two things that if you told me, hey, the Astros only get to do two things in the offseason, what would you choose? Well, if I get Alex Gordon,
that'd be up there.
That would be number one, and then going and trading for a hard-throwing closer would be number two. And if you don't get another starting pitcher, I'm okay with the guys you're bringing back.
Yeah.
If you don't get a first baseman, that's fine as long as you get another outfielder. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And there you go. There's your Astros talk for the day. Although people keep asking the same questions about the awards, so I'll go ahead and answer them. I think Keuchel wins the Cy Young. I think Correa wins the rookie. I think Bannister wins the manager.
Okay.
If I were a betting
man. Two out of three ain't bad.
No, that's damn good. And you should be real happy with that. But I wouldn't be shocked if Hinch is not third in the voting.
Okay.
For manager. Even though guy did a great job. But
a lot of guys did.
Yeah. But that would be my predictions. So let's grab a phone call. Brian, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, what's up, sports?
Sports to you.
Quick question for AJ. It's actually two quick questions. Wanted to know if you thought that the Ronda Rousey Holly Holmes fight is going to go to a decision this weekend. And do you also think this might be Mark Hunt and Bigfoot Silva's last fight? I'll hang up and listen.
I don't think that the Ronda Rousey fight is going into a decision. I think that's highly, highly unlikely that Holly will be able to stay in there for 25 minutes with her. That's a long time to not get submitted. The deal with Mark Hunt, man, this dude's been fighting since 1999, 41 years old. His last two fights, Dos Santos was a tough fight. Verdum was a tough fight, and those are some of the best guys in the world, and he hung in there with him, but he got knocked out. And this is a dude who is known for his chin and known for his power, and, at 41, you hit that wall eventually, and especially when you think about heavyweights, they hit hard, but they're getting hit really hard too. And Mark Hunt, you go back through his fight history, and that dude's been hit a lot and been hit really hard, and he's a tough son of a bitch, but eventually, time catches up to everybody. If Mark Hunt doesn't win, which I think Mark Hunt will win because I think he's got the power to knock Silva out early, but if it's another fight like their last one, I don't know if he can survive that, a war like that. And if it is, I kind of hope it's his last one. I'm a big Mark Hunt fan, but at some point you just got to say, you know what, man, I don't want to put my body through this anymore.
Patrick asks, Cespedes is up for grabs. Is he worth the money? I think he's worth the money. I just don't know that he's a good fit in this lineup because he strikes out a lot too, but he'd be an upgrade. I'd be a little concerned that he's been a guy who's been traded so much because he seems to be a guy who wears out his welcome pretty quickly. But, yeah, he's an upgrade. I mean, that wouldn't be my first choice. I'd rather have Gordon.
Yeah.
That's just me. Let's try Steve. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
Doing sports.
Hey, I'm just calling sports, and I'm just calling about your show yesterday. I was just curious what you guys thought. Bob McNair is such a really nice guy. I'm wondering if he really would fire the coach and the GM if, let's say, that they didn't win another game for the rest of the season. He's kind of not like how Al Davis used to be, who'd probably fire him immediately. I just wanted to hang up and see what you guys think about that.
I mean, listen, I think that at some point you've got to find a balance between being overly loyal and being Al Davis. I don't think that you have to be one or the other. And I do think Bill O'Brien is maybe loyal to a fault. But I also think that if they don't win another game for the rest of the season and no changes are made, if you go 3-13 and there's not major changes made, no one's going to take you seriously.
I think he's getting less patient.
He should be.
And I do think that, his model that he's tried to do, which I agree with, is try to have stability, try to hire the right people, and give them the tools they need. Well, it hasn't really worked. The flip side is to start being the Browns and fire your coach every year or doing what the Raiders were doing until you get the right guy. And you never really know because, I think Hugh Jackson might have been the right guy in Oakland if they'd given him enough time. But I don't think he's going to be patient enough. If this team finishes 4-12, for instance, I'm not going to be shocked if he fires everybody. I'm not going to be shocked at all.
I mean,
I don't think you have to, right? Yeah, I think, and just seeing him, he's got a little more of an edge to him now, and I can tell that the patience is running out.
Yeah,
and I think people can see that too, just from his comments. All right, let's try Chad real quick. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, y'all were talking about Alex Gordon signing with the Astros. And I just wanted to ask, is he still a viable option to move back to third base? Because I know third base is kind of a weak spot. And then you'd be able to leave the outfield kind of intact.
You could, but do you want to leave? I mean, third base is a weak spot. I don't know that – I mean, outfield's not much better, though.
A Lowry-Valbuena platoon would be fine.
Yeah, I think they're hoping that they can get more out of those guys. and a full season out of Lowry. But I think Gordon, to me, that guy is so good defensively that you don't make that change.
Yeah.
You keep him there. And I also, I almost feel like he'd be wasted playing left field at Minute Maid because he's so good defensively.
He is, although there's, you can get away with having a guy who's not great playing left field out there as long as they know how to play that wall. But if you got one who is that can get into that gap in center, that's a huge advantage. So, and honestly, I think it's probably unlikely that they're going to sign him because there's a lot of big pockets teams out there that are going to be spending money this offseason. There usually is. But I like hearing that name as a target. To me, that's, you know, that's the kind of people they should be going after.
Yeah.
And
although I also, I mean, you're going to, with guys like him, you're going to be in bidding wars with teams like the Cubs and the Red
right,
Sox that are willing to overspend probably more than you're willing to overspend.
And it just depends if they've decide that's the one they're going to overspend for, or if it's going to be David Price.
So you don't want to make, you don't want to get to the point where it's, you're just spending dumb money.
Right.
But you can't be afraid to.
You're going to have to compete with some teams. You just hope you're not into a war where the Cubs are saying, hey, this is our number one target. We want him more than we want David Price, more than we want Greinke, any of those guys. Then you're going to get outbid, and there's no point in getting involved. And Trevor said, just reported Rasmus is going to accept the qualifying offer, which so probably no Alex Gordon. Well, that's actually what started the conversation. Yeah, is that we mentioned that he accepted it. I would hope that Colby getting $15 million basically would not preclude you from going and spending a bunch of money on Alex Gordon. Yeah, that's a guy that makes your team considerably better. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back, a little fantasy talk with Christopher Harris. If you have fantasy questions that you think might benefit other people, in addition to yourself, fire them on the text line, 713-780-3776. We use a few every week. Christopher Harris up next. It's The Blitz on ESPN 975.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and you know what that music means. Time for Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert, runs harrisfootball.com. You can follow Chris on Twitter at harrisfootball. And kind of a cool thing last night that John put on his Facebook page from 6 years ago was we were doing the Sunday show, and the guests that day were A.J. Hoffman, who was in Austin at the time, and Christopher Harris. And I didn't realize that Christopher Harris has been doing our show, whether it was on Sunday or whether it's been daily now, for at least 6 years. I've had marriages that didn't last that long. In fact, almost all of them haven't lasted that long. So, thank you, Christopher, for sticking with us over all these years.
You're very welcome. I did not realize that either, but it's fun, right?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty cool to see that on there. Our guests today are Christopher Harris and A.J. Hoffman, and that's from 6 years ago. So, anyway, and you're still going strong, and now you're doing your own thing, and it's working out great. So, let's jump in with some fantasy questions, and one from a listener, which I think makes a lot of sense. With Deion Lewis out, does that change how you approach the New England backfield? Or do you dive into LeGarrette Blount and believe in that? Or is he going to always do what he does, which is somebody we've never heard of shows up next week and does it?
I think we've heard of them all. but I can't guarantee exactly what's going to happen. Even if Deion Lewis were playing, I think I would look at the Giants and say, this feels like a LeGarrette Blount game where I would feel okay starting. Definitely, I would have been okay starting Lewis. He was going to get used no matter what. But it would have felt like kind of a both of them kind of game. That's a defensive line that has really struggled and not a particularly good safety group either. So I think this week I'm okay taking the shot with LeGarrette Blount, although I didn't make him a top 10 fantasy running back because, like you said, I mean, you feel like the trick that Bill Belichick wants to play on you is never far around the corner. The real question, you know, the thing I want to see is, okay, well, LeGarrette Blount isn't going to play when the Patriots want to go spread. A lot of the time he's not going to play when they go shotgun, and they go shotgun more than half their snaps. And so who's that other guy going to be? Because there will be someone else. And, you know, my guess from having us literally sitting here looking at the tape on these guys right now as just before you guys called, and James White, you know, feels like the right answer, but I don't think he's a great player. I think he can be kind of what Shane Vereen was. Like, he'll get what's blocked. He'll get open on the screen. You know, he'll run a wheel route and be okay. But he's not Deion Lewis. He's not a hard cutter like Lewis was. And then the other guy is Brandon Bolden, more of a special teams guy, a little bit of a bigger guy. Boy, if James White isn't a hard cutter, then Brandon Bolden really isn't a hard cutter. So, you know, apparently they interviewed Pierre Thomas today. You know, there's a chance some other guy gets signed at some point. For this week, I think Blount's the only one I want to start, but there definitely could be kind of a new world order. This is one of the most interesting fantasy stories of the weekend.
If I had told you at the beginning of the year that, you know, week 10, Eddie Lacy would be healthy and on the bench, what would you have said to me?
I would have said, I don't believe you. I would not have expected that would be the case. You know, I didn't have him as my number one player, but I clearly had him as an overall top five player. I still think he's a really good player. You know, I'm generally not going to freak out about the Packers these past 2 weeks. You go on the road to Denver, you go on the road to Carolina, those are too bad. I mean, I think the worst Vegas line of the year was last week, Green Bay being favored in Carolina. I wagered a couple of, let's say, casino poker chips on that, and was happy with the outcome. That was a shocker to me. I think getting home where they're, you know, significantly better, getting against the Lions, who are significantly terrible, this is, the offense is primed to explode in this game. You know, is Starks probably going to get the first series? I think he probably is. Could that lead to more production? Could that lead to him maintaining on hand? It absolutely could. But I don't think we're looking at Eddie Lacy benched. I think he's going to see at minimum 5 to 10 touches, maybe more. And for me, the talent of Lacy is such, and the talent of Starks is such, that if they're going to make a run, it feels dumb to say considering James Starks was the running back when they won the Super Bowl, but I think they need a more active running game this year. I think Lacy has to be a part of that at some point later in the year.
Christopher Harris runs harrisfootball.com, does a great podcast, joins us. And I want to ask, are Mariota and Winston becoming viable fantasy starts at this stage of the season, or are they just too hit and miss for you to use them for anything?
They feel a little hit and miss, you know. Obviously, they have been hit and miss. It feels like Winston's just been, you know, Mariota was hurt, so didn't play. You know, and watching that Titans Saints tape, boy, there were a few throws there that should have been intercepted. You know, the long Delanie Walker touchdown ricochets off of eight people. You know, I feel like that was a little bit of a mirage. And, you know, I think part of Mariota's appeal is the idea that he would run, and it was actually Winston who wound up with the rushing touchdown. I think he might have two in the last 3 weeks. I think they're viable if your guy's on a bye. I think they're viable if your guy's been, you know, nauseating and you're a deeper league and there aren't a lot of great other options. But, you know, when the rubber meets the road, rookie quarterbacks are tough to trust. And it does kind of feel like fantasy quarterbacks all kind of live in the same little neighborhood where they're all within five, six, 7 points of each other on average most weeks. But then there are just a few guys who are super outstanding. And, you know, Tom Brady's really been that guy. I would expect Aaron Rodgers bounces back and will be that guy this week. So, you know, I guess that's sort of a mealy-mouthed answer, but I think if I had to give a yes or no, I would say no.
Well, how about the second-year guys? Because Blake Bortles and Derek Carr both seem to have rounded into really good quarterbacks, at least for fantasy purposes. Derek Carr's got 11 touchdowns in his last 3 games, and Blake Bortles has put up top 10 stats, and he's playing the Ravens secondary, which is something that I usually stream into anyway. You think those two guys are guys that could carry you through the end of the season?
In the case of Bortles, I'll just say no. He's a mess. I mean, his game instincts are terrible, and I admit the numbers have been there, but my experience tells me that when I watch a quarterback and he looks lost and the numbers are good, eventually it's usually not the lostness that changes, it's usually the numbers. It reminds me of Nick Foles, his big year when, you know, he could do no wrong and fantasy players loved him, and rightfully so. He wasn't throwing any picks. You know, he was looking good. I think Blake Bortles is maybe not this week. I'm with you. You know, the Ravens aren't necessarily equipped to make him hurt. But, boy, there were a few plays in that Jets game last week. And then the numbers wound up fine. But they should have won that game. And he gave it away with a stupid fumble in the red zone with a bad interception late. I'm not a believer in Bortles. Derek Carr, on the other hand, you know, instead of being Mr. Negative, I will say, you know, I thought last week against the Steelers was actually a little bit of a step back. The tape wasn't wonderful. He probably should have been picked off maybe two or three times. But I'd say maybe three out of four games before that, he has looked phenomenally good, so much better than he looked as a rookie. And I am kind of sold on Derek Carr. You know, can guys take a step back? Of course they can. He's still a young player, but I feel quite a bit of hope for him in the future, whereas if you'd asked me this winter, you know, his rookie tape was awful, and I did not see that coming.
Christopher Harris, our guest, a question from a listener. Is it worth a gamble going with Cousins since every game against New Orleans this year, the opposing quarterback has had their best or second best week?
Yeah, I mean, I can see the logic. I feel like in DFS, Cousins is going to be a super, you know, super pick. You know, he's going to be owned a lot more probably than his skill level indicates. I certainly ranked him higher than I typically feel comfortable ranking Kirk Cousins, but and I actually have a league where it's a deep league and I don't have a quarterback and I might use him. But if I had anybody who's been top 10 the whole year, you know, I feel like things can go wrong. And like I said, that Mariota game, you know, the Eli Manning game, yeah, that was terrific, and that was six touchdowns. The Mariota game last week, the numbers were good. I'm not sure how good the performance was.
Yeah, and on FanDuel this week, Kirk Cousins is only 6,500, so he's down there in Nick Foles, Josh McCown, Matt Castle territory.
Sure, and I would say if you're comparing to any of those guys and you want to go cheap with your FanDuel team, I think Cousins is a good option for sure.
Let me throw you one more. What about Landry Jones at home against Cleveland for 6,200?
Don't do it.
Yeah, just the weapons are great. You know, the weapons are there, but I just worry that, you know, he's not a very good player, and, you know, maybe
you're so kind.
Only get you so far.
that's a very tactful way of saying, look, this guy sucks. Do not use him.
Yeah.
All right, Christopher, tell them again how they can listen to your podcast. I know you do. I know we have a lot of listeners who've been checking it out, and they really like it. You get a lot of compliments from our guys, but tell them once again how they can do that.
Yeah, just go to harrisfootball.com. You can see links. If you go to iTunes, it's the Harris Football Podcast. It's searchable anywhere, really, where you get podcasts. You can find it. We do it Monday through Friday. It's usually up by, well before noon Houston time. And we've got a lot of insanity. It's fun. I think it's informative, but definitely we have enough levity in there that I think people have fun.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Christopher, as always, appreciate the time, sir, and look forward to talking to you again next week, man.
All right, thanks for having me on, you guys. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, we definitely will. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, time for the Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Texas Washington College Basketball, 9 p.m. Friday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Join us for lunch Friday. We're at Wingstop in the Greenway Plaza area on Richmond and Westland from 12:30 until 1:30. Pick up some wings, plus try your luck to win tickets, station gear, or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop is the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. And tonight at 7, it's the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. And this weekend, AJ is going to be somewhere Saturday, and I'm somewhere Sunday, right?
That's the game plan, yeah. I'll be at Luke's Ice House on Saturday, 6 o'clock.
Do you know where I'm going to be Sunday, John?
I'll get that confirmed.
Okay. It's somewhere in the Heights. I know that. So if you just drive around the Heights, eventually you'll find me. You'll see the ESPN truck. But all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So my friend Kim tweeted this out last night, and I just thought this was a perfect gem of the day. It's from Spartanburg, South Carolina, where a man and his girlfriend are locked up following a call they made to 911.
Okay.
Seems simple enough, right?
Right.
The Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office in South Carolina took five calls from a couple who claimed they saw possums and people jumping out of their refrigerator and microwave.
All right.
They responded to the address. Turned out to be the wrong address. Eventually, they found Brandon Terry and Casey Fowler. Of course, they both denied being on narcotics.
Of course not.
The two told deputies they had pictures of worms coming out of the floor of their car, photos of little people, and other people in camouflage. It uses the M word here, so I can't say that technically, but little people, like little ones that do the wrestling. So photos of them and a camouflaged little person coming out of their refrigerator. Deputy looked at the photos, which showed only a basketball goal in a tree. Now, I can see how you could confuse the tree with a little person, you know, if it's a little tree.
Right.
The basketball, maybe that could look like a possum. So they wound up arresting Terry on charges of unlawful use of 911 and for being a fugitive of justice. He had six outstanding warrants for narcotics charges. They arrested Fowler on a charge of unlawful use of 911. Investigators believe the two were under the influence of gravel, also known as flaca.
Okay.
So
I don't mess with that stuff. I'm against that.
Yeah, that seems, if you're seeing little people and possums coming out of your refrigerator and your microwave,
don't do that drug anymore.
Yeah, unless you're putting the possum in the microwave to cook him.
Right. Well, even then, don't stay with that girl either.
Yeah, it's probably not a good plan, but anyway.
If your girl cooks possum in the microwave, you need to leave.
Yeah, it's South Carolina. I bet they do a lot of that.
No. You can cook that over a fire, an open flame, maybe. Maybe even bake it. But
yeah. I'm thinking maybe like a stew. Okay. Or like possum gumbo.
What about deep frying?
Yeah, deep fry works really well.
I mean, that'll cook anything in a deep fryer and it's probably okay.
Yeah.
But not...
Not crow.
Not microwave.
Not crow.
You've never had deep fried crow.
No, but I've had enough crow to know that deep fry will not save it.
Oh, well, so says you.
Just, anyway, that's your Zadok Jules Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, so apparently I'm at the Porch Swing in the Heights on Sunday from all 12 right. to 2, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if that's biking distance or if that's too far. I'll have to look
that up. I think pretty far for you.
Yeah.
If it was in Midtown?
Yeah, no, Midtown I walk. Washington is bikeable.
Is it?
Yeah. Because you just go straight down, well, I guess it turns into Commerce or whatever. You just get right on that, boom, you're there. Well, takes about 15, 20 minutes. So I don't know. I'm just speculating, but I'll be there from 12 to 2. So if you're in the area, come on by, hang out. We'll watch whatever game is best there. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Whatever game is best.
Yeah,
I think you know what game is going to be the best.
12 to 2 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which one?
What time do the Texans play on Sunday?
They don't. They play Monday.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Well, what game is going to be best then?
That's what I was saying. I haven't done my gambling breakdown for Sunday yet, so
I know all the games. I just don't know what time they all start.
Yeah, well, I just assume most of them are at noon, and then it'll be 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
Panthers Titans could be that one.
That's a bad game.
Cowboys Buccaneers,
bad game.
Dolphins Eagles,
that might be a good game.
Jaguars Ravens,
bad game.
Browns Steelers,
that's a bad game.
Bears Rams,
God, there's not a good game at noon.
Lions Packers. Saints Redskins.
I'm not even kidding. There's not a good game at noon.
John, what am I supposed to do here? Which game am I supposed to be talking about?
You got to talk about Cowboys Buccaneers because it's on our station, and you got to talk about Panthers Titans because it's on 1560.
Yeah, but those are bad games. Why'd you pick those bad games?
No, I'll talk about the one on our station. But if you put Titans on 1560, a shame upon you, sir.
Like you said, there's not a good game on
well,
the board.
Well, I know. If I were picking a second best game.
What's the most interesting game on the NFL schedule this week? Cardinals Seahawks,
but that's at night.
Okay. That's a Sunday night
Patriots,
game.
Patriots Giants in the afternoon. Just
which
because
you can hear on ESPN 97.5.
All right, there you go. Good job, right. John. Pat yourself on the back.
That's a pretty distant second.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a great game, but I'm just saying that there's some intrigue there because the Giants and Eli have had some success
against
the Patriots.
And then is Chiefs Broncos third?
Well, I was thinking that. Actually, you know what? No. Vikings Raiders.
Maybe.
That's not one you would have said at the beginning of the year, but 6-2 Vikings against a Raiders team that's trying to hang into the wild card race?
I guess Teddy's going to play from what it looks like. So if he doesn't play, I have no interest in that game. Because now we get to see, you know, my draft man crush against your draft man crush. That'd be exciting. But if he doesn't play, then I don't want to watch that game either.
Yeah.
This is – you know what this is, Fred? This is a red zone weekend is what it is.
Yeah, this is pretty much
a red zone channel weekend because there's not a game, especially in the noon slot, that you want to sit down and dedicate 3 hours of your life to. And listen, often we have to dedicate 3 hours of our lives to the Texans games, which aren't worth it either.
Right.
But we have to because it's our job.
Right. 5 times this year it hasn't been worth it. 2 times it has really not been worth it this
year. Yes.
And we could have easily ejected after 5 minutes of those two games, but.
Oh, boy.
Somebody says, Fred, if you bike there on Sunday, would you get in trouble if you drink and bike? What would Gary Trichter advise? Well, we have a very strong rule about the biking and drinking thing. No more than 2 drinks at each place we go. And we spread it way out.
How many places do you go with that rule?
No more than 4.
Okay.
And we spread them out enough to where you sober up. If you start getting a little drunk, you've got a bike and stuff for a while. So, yeah, I don't worry about it. I won't be drinking. I'll be drinking and biking, but I won't be drunk and biking. How's that?
That's disappointing. All right, got to tell you about Dirt Free. And if you see dirt stains or mud tracks on your carpet or rug, imagine what you can't see with just your naked human eye, the bacteria, the allergens, the flea eggs. And, you know, you're walking around on that barefoot. There's fleas in your foot hair, flea eggs in your foot hair. If you have hairy feet, you're going to have fleas in those feet. If you have hairy animals, you're going to have fleas in those animals and bacteria on those animals. If you have a baby, that baby is going to be covered in allergens and bacteria. Who does that to their baby? That's awful. Don't let that be your house, your filthy, filthy house. Call Dirt Free. I've used them a long time. They do the job right the first time, and they save you money doing it. Listen, they've got the best technology in the game. The stuff they're using, once they clean your floors, it's not coming back. You go to these other guys, or you go down to the grocery store or Walmart and rent you a machine for the day. Those stains are going to be back tomorrow as soon as it dries. Not with DFC. Their technology is on point, and it's not just carpet. They do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, and they do it all with that fantastic technology. And now they're doing it on Sundays. Sunday service now available from Dirt Free. You call right now, you're going to get a family 4-pack to the Texas Renaissance Fest with any purchase. And the perfect way to end a day at the Ren Fest of turkey legs and winches is to come home to a clean home. Give them a call, 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free cleaning.
This is The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.